This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. It is Friday, May 18th, 2018, and we are live. So if you want to join the conversation, give us a call at 866-472-5788. 866-472-5788. If you're not listening live, you can always tell us what you think. Give us your questions and your comments at our 24-hour voicemail line. That's 323-SEX-8266, 323-SEX-8266. I'm really excited about today's guest. Do I say that every time? Well, I mean it most of the time because I don't have people on my show that I'm like not excited about. What is the point, really, truly? And people pitch themselves all the time. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm excited about you, but I'm excited about this guy. Let me tell you about him. Kevin Patterson is an active member of the Philadelphia polyamory community. He's been practicing ethical non-monogamy since August of 2002 after opening up a relationship that eventually became his marriage. In April 2015, Kevin was inspired to start Poly Role Models, an interview series for people describing their experiences with polyamory. Poly Role Models is part of a drive and a desire to change the way our lives and communities are viewed. It is currently the most diverse and inclusive platform for polyamory available. To continue the discussion of polyamorous representation, Kevin has extended the blog's work into nationwide speaking engagements about how race and polyamory intersect. This has led to the writing of his new book, Love's Not Colorblind: Race and Representation in Polyamorous and Other Alternative Communities. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Welcome, Kevin Patterson.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on here.
So tell me about the origin of the interview series on the website Poly Role Models, because that's what inspired the book eventually.
And I do mention it in the book, but essentially I had made some mistakes. I had a partner who had been staying with me every 2 weeks and a new partner who wanted to stay with me for a week. And I live at the home of my wife. So I was super excited about having three partners with me at the same time. And it didn't go as well as I had hoped. I mean, for the most part, it did. But my wife wasn't really as keen on the idea as I was. So by the end of the weekend, she was fixing for a fight. And we fought. And it got really bad. We almost disbanded and joined other families, but we were able to sort of right the ship and make things great. And like, they became even better. And like, our relationship has been pretty happy and pretty stable for the majority of it. But this was like a crisis point. So we relay the story about all of this to our local polyamory meetup, and the organizer says something to the effect of, "Wow, you guys have been doing this for 12 years." At the time, it was 12 years, and you're still finding new ways to screw up and make it better. It's like you guys are poly role models, and hearing that, like just hearing those words, gave me all sorts of ideas, and I decided I wanted to do something really similar to Humans of New York, where you've got a photo and some description of what's happening, and I just wanted to show polyamory in a way that looks like polyamory, not just like common representation of polyamory, just polyamory that looks like everybody, polyamory that's structured like everything. And once I started doing that, people started coming out of the woodwork to be a part of it. And I didn't mean for it to be that most inclusive platform for polyamory, but that's where it is now.
Well, you point out in the book, which is certainly true, that a lot of people view polyamory as a, quote, white thing. Yes. And it tends to be that polyamorous communities are predominantly white. And representation of polyamory, we tend to see the sort of same kinds of people in the media. White people who are generally thin and cisgendered and conventionally attractive.
Yes.
And everyone's smiling and holding hands in those pictures.
Those FMF closed triads mostly.
Right. There's often, right, one man, two women, the women are bisexual, and on and on and on.
Yeah.
So obviously this is a conversation that's been going on for a while and needs to happen. Now, your book title references this idea of being colorblind, or this notion that people have heard over and over, which is people who say that they don't see skin color or race.
Yeah.
Let's talk about why that's problematic.
It's problematic because it sounds a lot nicer than it really is. What the person who says that is likely trying to say is, I treat everyone exactly the same. And that sounds really nice if you think that everyone is on the same level playing field. If you think everyone's circumstances are exactly the same, then treating everybody exactly the same is perfect. But that's not the society that we live in. In the book, I use the example of suntan lotion. I never use suntan lotion, but I have friends who do. And I recognize that they have a need that I don't have. So I keep a tube in my car. If I go to the beach, I'll pack some with me, knowing full well that I'm not going to use it. But if I don't recognize that I've got friends who have needs that are different than mine, what kind of friend am I? And it plays out that way as well in race, where if you don't understand that I have to, that when I look at the cops, I'm going to see something different than you see. When I look at representation and I don't see myself, that's going to affect my ability to enter into something. Then if you don't recognize that, then what kind of friends really are we? What kind of people are we that you're not noticing that our playing fields aren't exactly level here?
Right, right. And this isn't just really about the polyamorous community. It actually is something that plagues our society at large, our white supremacist society, but also a lot of alternative lifestyle communities like the kink community. We've had that conversation on the show before, several conversations about that. And one of the things you talk about in the book are specific barriers for entry to these communities for people of color. I thought we could talk about some of those barriers.
Yeah, definitely. And something I bring up a lot, it actually just came up, Kimchi Cuddles, Tickle Wolf, who does the Kimchi Cuddles cartoon. Mm-hmm. We actually put out a cartoon together this week where I did the writing, she did the drawing. And it pointed out some of these barriers for entry and how they play out for polyamorous people in a mononormative space and for Black people of color in white spaces. And one of the first things that somebody said as a response was they didn't understand why fetishization was a problem because it was, in their opinion, a good thing, a positive thing, yay, fetishization. And it's a barrier for entry because people don't realize what it's doing. If you approach me, I feel like I'm a pretty approachable person. I've got a lot of things you can approach me about, you can come talk to me about sports or video games, sci-fi, movies, polyamory. But if you approach me just as a matter of me being Black and you having a fetish for Black people, that's not going to make me feel welcome. That's going to make me feel like a piece of meat. That's going to make me feel objectified in a non-consensual and very uncomfortable sort of way. I mean, something just as simple as that. Just feeling like every woman of color I know has heard some variation of "you're pretty for a Black girl," or "I've never been with a Black girl before," or something to that effect. And that was supposed to have been a welcoming thing, when really it's a marginalizing thing. And people don't always realize that that's the situation when it's happening. So it becomes hard to talk about it without, folks getting defensive.
Do you feel like the person got defensive on the, in response to the Kimchi Cuddles thing?
I think so. If I was going to guess, and this is just a guess, I feel like they've been fetishizing people for a long time and felt uncomfortable finding out that it was wrong, or finding it, or they felt uncomfortable finding out that they were the bad guy in somebody else's story. And that's sort of how it happens. Like when I would speak about race and polyamory in places, I would talk about my own experiences, and then other people would jump in and talk about their experiences, and then some, you know, their experiences dealing with the same barrier for entry. But then somebody would jump in and say, "Oh no, I did that to somebody, and I thought I was being welcoming and positive, when I didn't realize that that's the reason why so and so never came back to the meetup again."
I mean, this speaks directly to kind of how you've laid out the book and your tone in the book, which is, I call it both welcoming and challenging. I want to talk more about that, but we've got to take our first commercial break. Right. We have so much more to dig into. So please stay with us. More with Kevin Patterson and his fabulous new book, Love's Not Colorblind, Race and Representation in Polyamorous and Other Alternative Communities, after the break. Hey, everyone. I love toys that leave an impression. Whether it's your first encounter with the magic wand or the luxurious feel of a leather paddle, everyone has that special toy that's both an implement of pleasure and an aphrodisiac. Haven't met the right toy yet? Well, the Pleasure Chest invites you to fall in lust. With boutiques in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, the Pleasure Chest staff is committed to helping you find the right toy in a safe and non-judgmental environment. Visit pleasurechest.com and browse their educators picks section for some of my favorites, or visit their special collections page and get inspired. Use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free massage candle with your purchase, courtesy of the Pleasure Chest. B-Vibe is a premium collection of anal sex toys. Their products feature different sizes to accommodate users of all shapes, sizes, and experience levels. B-Vibe's high-end designs are couples-friendly, body-safe, and offer innovation aimed to create an exceptional user experience. You know I've got really high standards when it comes to anal toys, and I am in love with these. Plus, they stand behind each item with an easy-to-understand, hassle-free warranty. Dubbed as the Apple of anal, learn how B-Vibe and its premium anal plugs are engaging couples to discover the amazing pleasures of anal play. Visit bvibe.com and use coupon code Tristan to receive 20% off your purchase. Are you LGBTQIA, genderqueer or gender variant, a sex worker, an activist, a polyamorous person? Well, the Open List features therapists, sexuality and relationship coaches, traditional and alternative healthcare providers, mediators, lawyers, and more who are poly-aware, kink competent, sex positive, queer affirming, and anti-oppression. They work with clients with alternative sexualities and relationship structures, including open relationships, polyamory, ethical non-monogamy, swinging, BDSM, and kink. They serve the unique needs of folks who think and live outside the box. To search for a professional in your area, go to the open list at openingup.net. If you're a professional who'd like to be listed, use the coupon code OPENTRIAL for a free 1-year trial.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com. You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I'm talking today with Kevin Patterson, the author of Love's Not Colorblind, Race and Representation in Polyamorous and Other Alternative Communities. And before the break, we talked about how someone recently discovered that fetishizing people of color is not a good thing. And so what I love about this book, Kevin, is first of all, to write and release a book about race at this moment in American history is pretty gutsy. And it's going to be under the microscope, because I don't know what other conversations people are having in America, but I'm here to say that all of mine are about race and about Black Lives Matter. And it is like the central issue, maybe not for rich Republicans, but it is. And so what I found about this book is that you actually treat race in such a way that I could actually recommend this book to people who aren't interested in polyamory at all, because you very clearly, especially in this one chapter, which is like how to be more inclusive for white people, you speak directly to white people, and you do so in a way that is really, really accessible and yet also challenges people. You write in the book, I'm hoping that you'll do the next bit on your own. If you see yourself in any of these stories or find that you've got experience with any of these topics, please talk about it. Don't let discomfort silence you when your voice can lead to a better situation for all of us. So you really are calling on the reader, and it's an echo throughout the book for white readers to really check out their own racism, check out how they have treated people of color in the past, whether they're the leader of an organization or someone who meets up with someone at a munch, and really own up to your own shit.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that I've had to do as well. And I speak about it in the book through the lens of race, but I know through the lens of my own privileges, I've had to do that more than I can count. I know that, like, as a man, that there's certain barriers that I'm not going to hit that women run into. I know that as a mostly heterosexual guy, I know that when I go, if I talk about my partners, if I talk about my relationships, I don't have to risk being fired for any of that. Like, when I go to the bathroom, I'm a cisgender man. I know that if I go to the bathroom, public restroom, anywhere, I'm not going to have to worry about like my safety or my freedom as a result. So I try to take the words of people whose experiences are different than mine into spaces that they're not allowed to go into. I know that I've been trusted a few times recently, and I told a friend about this just yesterday, how honored I feel whenever like my trans friends trust me to like approach another cis guy about a trans issue that they weren't hearing or like some problematic behavior that they exhibited. Like, I've had a couple of trans friends that say like, hey Kev, like this guy did this thing, can you go talk to him? And they trusted me to do that. And I find it like an honor for that. So I feel comfortable passing that on. So I know that me being a black guy, there are times where people aren't going to hear me when I talk about race. If I talk about race to white folks, there are times that they're just not going to listen to me, or they're going to try to debate me. They're going to try to debate my lived experience as if like my reality is up for question. But if a white guy was saying the same stuff that I was saying, they would just listen. They would just dialogue. They would just accept. You ever hear of White Nonsense Roundup on Facebook?
No. Is that shit white people say?
it's a Facebook group, and I referenced them a bunch, where if you're arguing about race on Facebook, especially if you're a person of color arguing about race and the person you're talking to is just not hearing you, you can tag White Nonsense Roundup into the discussion. And one of the people who runs the page will appear with lightning speed and argue on your behalf to take the emotional labor off of you. And I've used this service multiple times, and every single time this person would show up, say almost the exact same stuff that I was saying, and the white person I was arguing with would invariably say, oh wow, thank you for making me understand that. Thank you for being clear with what you're saying. Now I get it. And thank this person for saying the same things that I was just saying that they weren't trying to hear at all.
This is hard work, though. And I feel like you probably find yourself in a lot of white-dominated spaces. In America and in the poly community. How do you avoid becoming this concept you talk about in the book, a forced ambassador? So define what a forced ambassador is, and then tell me how you push back against that.
Well, forced ambassadorship is like when you're in this place where you are the other and people feel like they need to use you as like their encyclopedia. Like I end up being somebody's black encyclopedia in the case of forced ambassadorship. Like, oh, wow, Kevin, you're black. Tell me about these black things, or how do black people feel about blah, 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 blah. Without, you know, without consent, without like asking me, is it okay if I ask this question, without giving me an opportunity to opt out of the discussion. And so it doesn't happen to me very often because I establish some pretty firm boundaries, like this is not a conversation I'm willing to have, and then I walk away, or, you know, or I make it really clear, like this, you know, this, I'm just not going there with you. Can we just not? The couple of times where it has happened, the couple of times where I didn't enforce stronger boundaries are times that I cringe at now, times that I think about, like, you know, folks are saying, you know, bringing up like black coworkers and black ex-girlfriends feeling like, hey, now that Kevin's here, I can have this conversation about a black person I once met. I'm pretty good about deflecting it now. But before I got good at deflecting it now, before I had tons of practice at deflecting it, it was always this really uncomfortable thing. And the people who were doing it didn't realize how uncomfortable they were making me. So when I would leave these conversations in an awkward way, I would just appear as standoffish when really I was defensive.
Mm-hmm. For good reason. I mean, what I've been an organizer and I've been in these alternative communities for like almost 20 years. And so I faced this, you know, in a really material way as someone who produced an event for 10 years. And I do think that everyone, if you asked all these white people if they wanted people of color at their events, they would universally say, yes, of course we do. We're totally welcoming. We're totally inclusive. We want mm-hmm. people of color. We just can't. And then the excuses begin. Like, we can't find them. They don't show up. We don't understand why they won't come to our events. What is your answer to those sort of bad excuses?
I mean, there isn't any, there's no real, I mean, they are excuses and they are bad. And the people who are doing them would rather, they're more uncomfortable with the conversation than they are. They're not putting in the kind of work and they don't want to hear about the kind of work involved. And it's why I wrote the book and it's why I tried to write it as easy to read as I did. I tried to make it as easy to understand, like basic tools sort of way, so that people could read it and say, well, these are the things we didn't try. What most people, what they feel like is that they put up a welcome sign that inclusivity is just going to happen on its own. Like, if they don't physically bar people from the door, that's enough. But there's inclusive intentional event planning that you can do. There's outreach you can do. There's engagement. There's, there's changes in leadership that you can engage in that will change the dynamic and the demographic of your group. And a lot of people don't want to do that much heavy lifting. It's easier to just say, well, we didn't bar anyone from the door and we don't know why this is the way that it is.
I mean, I think it's also a matter of sort of reaching outside of yourself, because I think people do sort of naturally network with people who are like them. And so they don't think to like advertise in places on websites that they don't visit or put their munch in a neighborhood that they don't live in, or, you know what I mean? Like, they're, yeah. I think that people are kind of myopic in that way. And so don't think about, there are differences and we have to address those differences in the way that you even do outreach.
Now you've been to all sorts of conferences. How many conferences have you been to that had childcare?
Maybe two or three.
Yeah. And it's such a rare thing. Now, I just went to, last month I went to Southwest Love Fest, in Tucson, Arizona, and they had childcare. And I spoke to one of the organizers about it, and she said that, part of the reason why she had childcare was because she's a single mother and that some of the other organizers were single mothers. So they had a unique perspective than other organizers. Most organizers, you know, maybe they're not parents, maybe they're not single parents, maybe they have a childcare situation set up. And so for them, it became an integral part of how they organized. And that's how it has to be when you're putting people of color in these environments. It has to be an integral part of your organization. You can't just, you know, you can't just tack on black folks at the end of your organizational process. We have to be involved. We have to be part of the process so that instead of doing instead of having an event where in an area of town where people of color just aren't, you can have a conversation while you're planning the event and find yourself in a different part of town where it might be a more even mix. It might be more accessible to people who need mass transit, people who are marginalized by way of class, people who have kids that need to bring their kids to an event or can't always afford several hours worth of babysitting. You've got to do planning in that way. You can't just say, well, we're going to keep doing this the same way we've always been doing this and then not understand why it's going to look the same way it's always looked.
Right. And I think also once you get people there, there also has to be a level of like for me, I felt like when more people of color started coming to Dark Odyssey, which I used to produce, then like we asked more people of color to present. We asked more people of color to help organize. We put them in leadership positions. And yes. Then we asked them, how do we get more people of color here? And they would lay out for us, this is what we like about this event, and this is what doesn't work about this event. And I think that's another piece of it too, that once folks come, you also have to be sensitive that people may have different needs, and you can't just say, okay, like we reached our quota and now we're just going to, you know, we're going to carry on as usual.
Yeah, absolutely. Up until very recently, I had a leadership position in my local community in the Philadelphia area, and just being like a black face who was vocal and respected and, you know, and just sort of very visible changed a lot of the demographic in the group. Like just saying like, hey, we're going to focus on marginalized voices here. We're going to center marginalized voices. That changed the demographic of the group. I ended up being on the front page of the Philadelphia Daily News, my wife and I, and I posted it all over the place. I posted it in Black and Poly groups and said, like, if you're looking for fellowship in the Philadelphia area, if you're looking for polyamorous resources in the Philadelphia area, this is your signpost. And we added literally hundreds of people of color to our local community, to our local Facebook group over the course of like a couple of months. We added hundreds of people of color who otherwise wouldn't even have heard of this local community. And that's really important. Just like having people in positions of power, having people who are visible and vocal, and you know that they're like respected, they're not like tokens, they're not figureheads. That's so important. It changes demographics. It changes landscapes.
And it ultimately changes the event, but I think it changes it for the better.
Oh yeah, without a doubt.
Okay, we got to take another break. When we come back, we are going to continue this discussion about Kevin Patterson's new book, Love's Not Colorblind. So stay with us. Hey everyone, I love toys that leave an impression. Whether it's your first encounter with the magic wand or the luxurious feel of a leather paddle, everyone has that special toy that's both an implement of pleasure and an aphrodisiac. Haven't met the right toy yet? Well, the Pleasure Chest invites you to fall in lust. With boutiques in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, the Pleasure Chest staff is committed to helping you find the right toy in a safe and non-judgmental environment. Visit pleasurechest.com and browse their educators picks section for some of my favorites, or visit their special collections page and get inspired. Use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free massage candle with your purchase, courtesy of the Pleasure Chest. B-Vibe is a premium collection of anal sex toys. Their products feature different sizes to accommodate users of all shapes, sizes, and experience levels. B-Vibe's high-end designs are couples-friendly, body-safe, and offer innovation aimed to create an exceptional user experience. You know I've got really high standards when it comes to anal toys, and I am in love with these.
Plus, they stand behind each item with an easy-to-understand, hassle-free warranty. Dubbed as the Apple of anal, learn how B-Vibe and its premium anal plugs are engaging couples to discover the amazing pleasures of anal play. Visit bvibe.com and use coupon code Tristan to receive 20% off your purchase. Are you LGBTQIA, genderqueer or gender variant, a sex worker, an activist, a polyamorous person? Well, the Open List features therapists, sexuality and relationship coaches, traditional and alternative healthcare providers, mediators, lawyers, and more who are poly-aware, kink competent, sex positive, queer affirming, and anti-oppression. They work with clients with alternative sexualities and relationship structures, including open relationships, polyamory, ethical non-monogamy, swinging, BDSM, and kink. They serve the unique needs of folks who think and live outside the box. To search for a professional in your area, go to the open list at openingup.net. If you're a professional who'd like to be listed, use the coupon code OPENTRIAL for a free 1-year trial.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, as usual, I want to give a big shout out to my amazing sponsor, The Pleasure Chest. They have been sponsoring the show for several years through thick and thin, through great episodes and mediocre ones. And they're the ones who keep the lights on and make it possible for me to do this show. Spring is here. Get sprung on Masturbation May at the Pleasure Chest. All month long, the Pleasure Chest will be bringing you all the tips, tricks, toys, and free workshops on how to do it yourself. Before we discover the joys of sex and intimacy with a partner, we learn how our own bodies can give us pleasure. Whether you're new to incorporating sex toys into your play or a seasoned pro, Pleasure Chest has everything from new to old, basic to bold, and free weekly workshops to help you learn what to do with them. Whether it's the classic magic wand, the iconic rabbit, or a vibrating cock ring, the Pleasure Chest has all the goods to help you do you. Don't forget to follow at Pleasure Chest Stores on Instagram for weekly giveaways. And when you visit pleasurechest.com, use the coupon code Tristan at checkout to get a free massage candle with every purchase. I love you, Pleasure Chest. Okay, we are back talking to Kevin Patterson about his new book, Love's Not Colorblind, Race and Representation in Polyamorous and Other Alternative Communities. So before the break, Kevin, you told this story about being in the media, you and your wife being in the media, yes, and how that sort of led to more people of color. And this is something you talk about in the book. You talk about what happens when folks, you know, finally discover polyamory, and then they go to like the meetup group or the website or an event page, and the visuals immediately exclude them and make them feel like they don't belong. So this is like a central question in your book. So it's a big one, but I know you can parse it out here. Why does representation matter?
I mean, it becomes so easy to think that something is not for you when you don't see yourself represented in it. It's just that simple. Even last night I was interviewing someone for Poly Role Models, and they were saying how, they were in a couple, their husband decided that they wanted to open up the relationship, and her first thought was, isn't that white people shit? And I was watching an episode of Insecure on HBO where they had like a non-monogamy storyline, and one of the characters was dating a married man who was in an open relationship, and the main character, Issa, says, isn't that white people shit? And I've got a number of stories where I tell a friend about my non-monogamy, and or in a very recent case, a friend of mine was trying to school his wife on non-monogamy and thought the best way to do that was to bring her around me and have her ask me questions. And the very first question she asked me was, isn't that white people shit? Now, non-monogamy can be anybody. It can be for anybody. But when you don't see yourself represented in it, it's easy to just think it excludes you. And like, I feel that way about so many things where people of color, and a lot of times when people of color are in media or in pop culture, it's because a storyline specifically calls for a person of color, not just because they're any person who can act like any person and can be involved in anything. It's the way representation can just sort of angle how you see the world or angle how you feel the world sees you. And representation matters so much in just those little ways.
You know, you told this story about how you and your wife were interviewed extensively for this New York Times article, which people may have seen. It came out a few months ago. I also was interviewed very extensively and gave that reporter tons of background information as well as tons of sources. And I also found myself excluded, which is really frustrating in the media. But it's more frustrating that you were one of the only couples of color that was going to be profiled, and it ended up that you got your picture there, but you didn't have any context for that picture because they didn't tell your story.
Yeah. The name of the article was, "Is an Open Marriage a Happier Marriage?" Well, my open marriage is a happier marriage. Like, my wife and I, knowing her as well as I do, and her knowing me as well as she does, there's no doubt that we are a much happier, much more productive relationship based on our non-monogamy. So in speaking with my wife for like 2 hours and speaking to me for like 4 hours, you could have used that as the basis for an article with a headline like, "Is an open marriage a happier marriage?" But all they got out of that article out of her was her saying that she could raise the kids without me. Like, her and a girlfriend could raise the kids without me. And all they got from me was that I don't like people parking in my parking space, which after that, I don't really care so much about that parking space anymore. Like, it started feeling silly when people would recognize me from that article as the parking spot guy and not the poly role models or the upcoming book guy. So now I don't really care so much about that parking spot, but I did put out a response. Like right away, where that article came out on a Thursday. By that Saturday, I put out a response article. You know, my wife and I, we put on the same clothes that we had in the pictures from that New York Times article. We went back to the same room in the house. We took much happier pictures and told a much more realistic story about ourselves and how we felt about that representation.
But I feel like, you know, in the newsroom, of course I wasn't there, but I feel like at some point someone was like, at the New York Times, was like, "Oh my God, wait, there's no people of color. Oh wait, you did talk to those people of color. Stick their picture in."
Yeah.
I mean, that's how it looked from the outside. You know, it's like, we're just going to stick this picture in to say, hey, we sort of covered our bases.
Yeah. And it was the saddest picture. We looked so upset. We looked like we were getting ready to be divorced in that picture. And like, it doesn't look like us at all. Like, our friends don't recognize us in that picture because like my wife and I, we are like, we're always goofing around. We're just a couple of dorks. And we look like a couple who would look like we were on our last legs in that photo. We were so upset by it.
It happens all the time in mainstream media. It's why people are, shy away from doing mainstream media, right? Because we feel like we're not going to be represented in the way we want to be, or we're not going to be represented at all.
Yeah. Yeah. And the people who were represented in that article, they weren't even really non-monogamous. The focus of that article was a couple who began like cheating on one another because they were unhappy in their marriage. So I don't know who this was supposed to serve. Like, there were, you know, if you're new to polyamory or you're new to non-monogamy and you read that article, you're not going to get a very bright picture to take away from that. So I don't know who that article was really supposed to serve other than, I don't know, the New York Times, who was looking to tackle a new topic and feel edgy about themselves, I guess.
Right. You know, the other thing about your book that I love is that you have this chapter that speaks directly to white people, and then you have this chapter that speaks to people of color around these issues of inclusivity and representation. Because I think that there's as people have wanted to have more inclusive events and wanted to change the way that their events are thought of, there is all this labor that white people are asking of people of color to kind of help them figure out why there aren't people of color at their events. That's labor to come to the events and then have to sort of navigate the event as a minority. So I know that there are certain people of color who are like, I just don't go to that event because like I don't want to deal with it. Like I don't want to be anyone's token. I don't want to educate anyone. I don't want to do the work. I'm going to go to POC only events. So in that chapter, it felt like you offered like a series of strategies for people of color. If you want to see change, here are some things you can do. And then it wasn't all just go to white spaces, be disruptive, take up space, and let people know that you're there. So let's go through some of those strategies for folks of color who want to make change, maybe in their own communities.
I mean, one of the main ones is don't go to white spaces, but still be disruptive. Like stay home. If you go somewhere, you know, make it known that this is a problem. But if you don't go there, also make it known that this is why you're not going there. My thing was always to go. Like I wanted to socialize. I wanted to date. I wanted to hook up. So I would go, but I would never be quiet about how little representation was at an event. I'd never be quiet about how little visibility I had. But for other people, their best strategy was to stay home and do the same thing. The reason I don't go to this is because it's all white. The reason I don't go to that is because I got fetishized when I went there. So that's really important. And then also to like write and to create. We're in this time where, you know, so many people have podcasts, people have YouTube on their phones, YouTube and Tumblr and Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. There's so many different ways that you can broadcast whatever message, whatever story. You can tell your own story and you have immediate worldwide broadcast range. Like if you've got a cell phone, if you've got a smartphone, you've got such range to tell such stories. And there's always someone who needs to hear that. There's always someone who needs to like feel validated in knowing that they aren't alone and feeling away. So, you know, get loud, broadcast, tell people your stories.
You also recommend people starting their own events, which I think, of course, involves a lot of labor, resources, and a couple weeks ago, we had one of the organizers of this new group in LA called Obsidian LA, which is for queer, kinky people of color. And she talked about how she sort of came out into the kink scene in LA, and she was one of the only women of color. She was treated poorly, and she shared a bunch of stories about that. And so she went away, and then she decided, okay, I really want this space. This space is so important to me. I'm going to make it myself. Because that's another strategy, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Do your own thing and then become the go-to place where she made that space and then people know about that space and join her, people that feel the same way that she felt. Every space you need, if you need it, there's 100 other people that need it just like you. So creating an event, creating an organization, making something happen, that's really valuable. I did a book signing in Olympia, and a group of Filipino folks who were there for the book signing, by the end of it, they were exchanging names and numbers and Facebook friend requests, and they might start something brand new just because they met at a book signing. And it's really valuable to have the resources to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we got to take another commercial break. I don't know how that happened. That just whizzed by. Okay, we'll take a break and more Sex Out Loud when we come back. Hey everyone, I love toys that leave an impression. Whether it's your first encounter with the magic wand or the luxurious feel of a leather paddle, everyone has that special toy that's both an implement of pleasure and an aphrodisiac. Haven't met the right toy yet? Well, the Pleasure Chest invites you to fall in lust. With boutiques in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, the Pleasure Chest staff is committed to helping you find the right toy in a safe and non-judgmental environment. Visit pleasurechest.com and browse their educators picks section for some of my favorites, or visit their special collections page and get inspired. Use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free massage candle with your purchase, courtesy of the Pleasure Chest.
B-Vibe is a premium collection of anal sex toys. Their products feature different sizes to accommodate users of all shapes, sizes, and experience levels. B-Vibe's high-end designs are couples-friendly, body-safe, and offer innovation aimed to create an exceptional user experience. You know I've got really high standards when it comes to anal toys, and I am in love with these. Plus, they stand behind each item with an easy-to-understand, hassle-free warranty. Dubbed as the Apple of anal, learn how B-Vibe and its premium anal plugs are engaging couples to discover the amazing pleasures of anal play. Visit bvibe.com and use coupon code Tristan to receive 20% off your purchase.
Are you LGBTQIA? Genderqueer or gender variant, a sex worker, an activist, a polyamorous person? Well, the open list features therapists, sexuality and relationship coaches, traditional and alternative healthcare providers, mediators, lawyers, and more who are poly-aware, kink competent, sex positive, queer affirming, and anti-oppression. They work with clients with alternative sexualities and relationship structures, including open relationships, polyamory, ethical non-monogamy, swinging, BDSM, and kink. They serve the unique needs of folks who think and live outside the box. To search for a professional in your area, go to the open list at openingup.net. If you're a professional who'd like to be listed, use the coupon code OPENTRIAL for a free 1-year trial.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in your brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, let me tell you what's coming up at the Pleasure Chest in their Pleasure Ed free workshop series. In Los Angeles, May 23rd, Suck It, Lick It, Love It, an oral sex class with Chris and Isabel. In New York City, May 21st, The Exquisite Whip, Part 1, Amazing Hands-On Flogging Training with Midori. May 22nd, The Exquisite Whip, Part 2. And May 23rd, Mindful Masturbation with Matan and Leon. In Chicago, May 23rd, it's Awaken Your Senses with Tanya. You can go to pleasurechest.com to find out about these events and more. Just click on the word events. And I want to remind you that my sex educator boot camps, level 1 and level 2, are available online right now. You can watch them whenever you want, and you can download all the resources that go with them. Go to sexeducatorbootcamp.com. It also makes a great gift. And hey, I would be remiss if I didn't tell you about Swing Set Takes Desire. This is this amazing sex positive event with people of all different backgrounds, of all different sexualities. I really want to queer up the place, so I'm calling out the queers to come. It's November 3rd to the 10th, 2018. It's a takeover of the whole resort, so the organizers get to set the tone and do the events, and you're surrounded by like-minded people, and it's fantastic. It's at Desire Riviera Maya in Cancun, and it does sell out every year, so you want to reserve your spot. And you can go to ssdesire.com to make that happen. I'm talking today with Kevin Patterson, and he's on tour right now, actually, for his book, Love's Not Colorblind, Race and Representation in Polyamorous and Other Alternative Communities. I wonder if you'll tell us maybe where you're going to be next, because I know you're traveling all over the country and certainly have listeners all over the country. So where are you going to be in the next couple of weeks?
Next couple of weeks, I'm going to be in Albuquerque, New Mexico for May 25th at Self Serve. I'm going to be at... I'm heading down to Atlanta Poly Weekend, first weekend in June, but I'm stopping on May 31st at Malaprops Bookstore in Asheville, North Carolina. I'm also going to be at Charis Bookstore in Atlanta on June 1st. I will be at Poly Dallas Millennium in July. I will be at Woodhull Sexual Freedom Summit in August. And I'm super excited to be at Sex Down South in September. That's in Atlanta. I've got coupon codes for that. Like, you know, hit me up on Twitter. Like, let me give you a coupon code for Sex Down South. I'm really excited. It took a year off last year. It's coming back. So I'm really excited to be a part of that. I'm going to be keynoting at Poly Dallas Millennium. Ruby Johnson runs a really quality symposium there. So I'm super excited to be there. It's POC centered, as is Sex Down South. So having more events that are centered around people of color, although they aren't exclusive to people of color, that's really valuable. You can feel the difference in the environment when you get there, when you present there, when you just sort of move throughout the hotel, the conference room, and interact there. It's so different. It feels fantastic. And I'm so excited to be a part of that.
I also want to shout out Poly Dallas Millennium because Ruby is incredible and that event is incredible. I've been there. I'm not going this year, but I really recommend it for folks. You'd be surprised at the amazing community organizing and building going on in Texas. When you think there is a place where poly people aren't, go to Texas and find out where they are. And I'm also going to be at Sex Down South. That's where we're going to get to meet, Kevin. We're going to meet in awesome. Person at Sex Down South.
Yeah, we will.
So I found out that I am presenting at Sex Down South. So I'm really excited about that. And I may hit you up, Kevin, for a panel I'm doing on race and desire.
Okay, I'm down. I'm down to hear it. I'm gonna be there speaking about race and polyamory, and I'm also gonna be there with Christopher Smith of the Telembility Movement and Bex Caputo of the Dildorks podcast, and we're gonna be presenting on masculinity and polyamory, and that's been
it's been really well received.
It's been really well received, and I'm glad that we're having these opportunities to like sort of have these 201, 301 level conversations centered around polyamory.
And I'm curious, as you've traveled around the country, what the response has been to your book, to these discussions. Do you see the needle moving?
I do. I mean, the thing about it is, since I'm not like embedded in these communities, it's hard to know sort of what impact I'm having and what I'm not. But I have been hearing, I've heard people say they've had changes in leadership, that they've had changes in demographics, that they've had book clubs and discussion groups based on my book and like what they can do to change the demographics and the dynamics of their local communities. And it's amazing to hear. Like I do it just for the head nods. I love being in a room full of people of color talking about myself and seeing them nod their heads because they know that they've been in the same situations that I'm describing. But to hear that other people are sort of picking up the book, taking it to heart, and making real dynamic changes to their polyamory communities, it's so amazing. It's so, like, I feel it's very surreal for me, and I'm glad to be a part of it all.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show. I really love the book, and I recommend it to everyone. So yeah. Go and buy it wherever books are sold. It's called Love's Not Colorblind, Race and Representation in Polyamorous and Other Alternative Communities. Thank you so much, Kevin.
Thank you so much.
And I'm going to see you at Sex Down South. That's great.
Yeah. And like I'm easy to find. I'm Poly Role Models on Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, and Facebook is a good place to find me at Poly Role Models, just because that's where my events page is and people can see where I'm going to be at and when I'm going to be there.
You just took the words out of my mouth. So you're on Facebook, you're on Twitter, you're on Instagram, and you're on YouTube, all at Poly Role Models.
And then the
website that sort of started this whole movement, and really it's not a book, it's a movement, obviously. You're making real change. That website is polyrolemodels.tumblr.com.
Yes.
And there, Kevin interviews a wide variety. And I mean, he's really dedicated to a wide variety of folks who are practicing non-monogamy, who are doing it ethically, and really lifting up voices that we don't often hear, you know, in the polyamory communities that we run in. So it's a great website and it's a great resource.
You know, I haven't interviewed you yet, Tristan. I'm sure you've been nominated.
Okay. I'll do it. Sure.
All right.
I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, senior producer Raymond Johnson, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, A-Rod, my engineer, and everyone at Voice America. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of the show. Until then, you can find me online on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Tristan Taramino. On Twitter, the show is at Sex Out Loud Radio. We're also at sexoutloudradio.com, where you can find out all the different ways to listen, whether you want to listen live, you want to listen on demand, you want to listen to it as a podcast. All the info is there. And until next time, folks, take some time to have these difficult discussions. Certainly, this book is a great primer to inspire one or two. And take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.